Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
This morning I'm going to begin a new series, and it's one that I've been very excited about. In fact, I was sharing with the board this morning that about 50%, at least 50%, of all conversations and counseling and different things that we do has to do with, what am I called to do? I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in this season of my life. I don't know what God would desire of me. And back last October, the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, I want you to do a series on called, being called of God, knowing our calling based on the Word of God. There's a lot of different teachings and discussions going on right now about calling, because this is a kingdom message. This isn't a Unity Church message. And I believe that we are going to fall into line with that. And we're going to hopefully help you to discover what it is that you are called to be and what you are called to do for the kingdom of God. Because God cares more about who you are than what you do. Can somebody say amen? But because God cares about who you are, He gives you something to do that's beneficial for you and the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts and change our lives in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you guys very much. Man, we have some talent on that stage, I can tell you. We have some talent all over the property this morning. We have ministry going on all over the campus. And I want to say that sometimes when we get to summer and, you know, I look around, sometimes it's a little hard because we've got students gone. We've got, you know, our Kai Alpha kids are not here. Thank you very much. That may be a first when I was preaching, now that I think about it. I don't know that I've ever sneezed while I preach. And so, you know, but the sanctuary looks pretty good for us summer Sunday morning in Magnolia, Arkansas. Can you give yourselves a hand for being here this morning? Thank you for that. We are going to miss the Baldwins so much. We got to spend some time with them this week. They've been a blessing to the church, and we've loved watching what God has done in your family. You know, you've got two beautiful babies, and the story just blows my mind every time I think about it, of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. And so we thank God for them, and we know that God's going to bless them. Also, many of you got to meet Keaton and Lexi while they were here. You know, Lexi's dad owns Flying Burger, and she was able to get plugged in here and be involved here at Unity Church. And I spoke with them this week, and we were talking about them at staff meeting. They moved to Harrison, Arkansas to start a new business, a fitness training business there in Harrison. And that's kind of where they wanted to be located. And so they were able to move there. God blessed them. In fact, they told me this week that the real estate company that sold them the house there in Harrison says that they broke a record. It was the fastest closing on any house in their company, and God blessed them with that. So we give God praise for their favor, and he even told me, he said, I know that that's just part of God's favor on our lives, and that we're doing what God wants us to be doing. And they were just on our hearts. And they are trying out a new church there in Harrison this morning, Faith Assembly there in Harrison. And that just reminded me, you know, Magnolia is a place that a lot of people come and then they leave, right? And they spread out all across the United States and even the world. You know, our adopted college son, Cedric, is in Columbus, Ohio, and he's plugged into a great church there and just got married. And, you know, you never know where your fruit's going to land. God didn't call you to bear fruit and keep it in your backyard, did he? He said, bear fruit. And we never know where that fruit's going to land. And so the investments that you make every time you shake hands and encourage somebody and speak a word of love and encouragement to somebody, you never know how far that's going to go. So we want to commend you for that this morning. Also, if you were here last week, man, you heard a word from Pastor Mikey. I'm telling you what, that boy can preach. And so we were talking this week with our kids, with our biological kids, and this applies to Mikey. I consider Mikey and Jasmine some of our spiritual kids in the Lord, and we're so happy that we get to invest in them while they're here. And you know, it's the heart of a good father that wants your kids to go far surpass you, right? And so we were talking to Seth this week. You know, we're like, I hope you do more than I ever do. I hope you accomplish more than I ever accomplish, and that you're better than I can ever be in this life. And so we wish that for Mikey and Jasmine as well. And I believe one day that boy is going to be, no telling what this couple's going to do. Amen. Amen. Can you give them a hand this morning? We're excited they're on our team. We're excited they're on our team. Also this week, man, it's been an exciting week. Also this week, I got to go out into the logging woods. First time I was out with a logging crew. And so it was a cool experience. And I wish I had the picture for you on the screen, but I'm sure you can see that. I'm sure they've got pictures they can show you after church. But Alex and Cecilia have officially launched their business, ANC Logging Incorporated. Is that right? ANC Logging Incorporated. God's blessed them. They have made some very wise financial decisions in their personal life, and he's blessed them to be in a spot to where they were able to go into business. Instead of working for somebody else, they're going to be working for themselves. And they wanted to honor God and bless God with their business and allow that to be a funnel of ways to fund the kingdom of God as well. And so they called me on Friday and they said, hey, it's our first day of work. It's last minute, but can you meet us in the logging woods? And I said, when? They said, right now. And so we went out with the whole crew and blessed that business, dedicated it to the Lord, and asked God to bless his crew as well. And so we're so proud of them. Can we give God praise for all that he's done this week? What's happening is we're seeing that people are walking in their calling and God's blessing it. You know, some people are called to be on the platform and on the pulpit. Some people are called to be an usher or a greeter in the sound booth, or thank God for those that are called powdering butts in the nursery and doing all kinds of things. And Pastor Donna's job, you know, I helped her with some kids stuff not long ago, and I thought, thank God for people who are called to children's ministry, because, you know, that's not me. And so we love the kids, and we're so thankful that they're growing and doing things for God. Amen. So we're going to talk about what you particularly are called to be and do this morning. Romans 8, 28 through 30. I keep looking at my watch, and it didn't charge last night, and it's dead. So bear with me this morning. I'm going to do my best. In fact, I'll set my phone out. I don't want to keep you captive too long. But I believe this is a word for you this morning. Romans 8, 28 through 30, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And that's a scripture we quote a lot of times. Man, God works everything for my good. How many knows God wants to work everything for your good? He is not a cruel, harsh master. He is a God who wants to work everything out for your good. Even when we make mistakes, how many knows God can work that out for your good? And he doesn't say, well, he missed it on that one. He's going to pay for that one. No, he wants to turn that thing around and work it out for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And so we know that we have been called according to the purpose of God. Not the purpose of what I desire or what my flesh wants, but I've been called according to the purpose of God. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. I want you to say that word. Predestined. Now that's a word that can get you in a lot of trouble in the church and in church doctrine, because it's misunderstood what we're talking about here. It says, but for those God foreknew, he also predestined, listen, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God has predestined you to be conformed into his image. And those he predestined, he also called. Somebody say, I'm predestined and I'm called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So that's a lot in this scripture. The Lord says that you have been predestined, you have been called, and because you have been called, you have been justified. And even though you have been justified, God is also going to glorify you. So what does this mean? It means that God had a plan for you before you were ever born. And so there's a lot of abortion debate and things going on of how early is too early, how late is too late to get an abortion. And now we know in some states that children can be put to death even after they have been born. And what we're doing is we're killing the potential that God has for each one of those souls. And each one of those souls has a name in heaven. And each one of those souls, God predestined to be born. And so all abortion is murder. And I'm not here to game members this morning, even though I hope we do. But I'm telling you this morning that America will be judged for every soul that is slaughtered under the name abortion. God predestined you and he called you and he chose you and he justified you. And that's a big word. But God sees you not for who you are, but who you can be. And God knows that you can be better than you are today. At least he knows that about me. He knows that I can be better than I am today. And because he sees you for who you can be, he glorifies you and he gives you the ability to attain the potential that he has placed on your life. Can somebody say amen? And so this is the will and the call of God. Somebody shout, I am called. So that is our first point this morning, just realizing and understanding that you are called. You may not be called to full-time pulpit ministry. You may not be called, like I said, to some of the other ministries within the church, but I can guarantee you that you are called. Every believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has been predestined and qualified for the calling. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, he has saved us. Somebody say, thank God. And called us to a holy life. God has called you to live holy. And so we know that God has called us, first of all, to live a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So here's what we know, that everyone is called, first of all, to Christ. You are called to Christ. Christ died on the cross so that he could have relationship with you. And he died on the cross so that you could have direct access to, the Bible says, the throne room of the Father. So the first thing that we are called to as Christians is we are called to Christ. And every believer that is called to Christ is called to do something. Somebody say, I'm called to do something. Every person under the sound of my voice has been called to do something. And also, every believer is called to live holy. This is not a recommendation or God hopes that we live holy. He said, you are called to live holy. You are called. God has called you. God has called you. Another word for called is command. God has commanded us to live holy. God's calling on your life is that we live holy and up to his standards. But here's the good news, is that every believer has received grace to walk out their calling. You have received grace. Do you know that me as a pastor, I had to receive grace to be able to do this. And Chris had to receive grace to play the bass, you know, Alex and Cecilia have been overseeing all the hospitality that happens here at the church with the greeters and connecting with people. And so you know, they had to receive grace to do that. In fact, whenever we started, it was a little bit out of their comfort zone, and now they have settled into their calling. And Alex and Cecilia have also received a calling to make a difference in the logging world and to be a blessing to the people that God's going to entrust to them. But they had to receive a grace to do that. Jason had to receive grace to fight fires and to put fires out and to save people's lives. Listen, this is a calling of God that He's placed on your life, and He gives you grace to do what God has called you to do. Part of that calling is to live holy. In fact, until you're living holy, you can't walk fully in the calling of God. And so, but God didn't say, hey, I want you to be holy as I'm holy, and I want you to live righteous as I've taught you how to do, and I want you to live at a higher standard. He doesn't just say that. He says, hey, I'm going to give you the ability to do it. And so He gives us the grace to live out a holy calling from God. Somebody say, I'm called. Number two, you are chosen. You got to realize that you are called, but not only are you called. Man, this is a humbling thought. Every time I think about this, I'm like, man, God, you chose me. You didn't have to, but you chose me. Somebody say, He chose me. Is that not a humbling thought? The God, the creator of the universe, and I say this all the time, but man, it just blows my mind, who measures the universe with the span of His hand, big God. Always been, always will be God. King of kings, Lord of lords, chose me. And He chose you. That's a humbling thought. But Galatians tells us in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 15, it says, God chose me and called me by His marvelous grace. So we see this word again, grace. God says, hey, I'm going to choose them and I'm going to call them, but I'm not going to leave them there. I'm going to bless them by my marvelous grace to do everything that I ask Him to do. Do you understand that God is never going to call you to do something that He's not going to equip you to finish? And not just finish, but finish well. That's what we've been praying for these guys, is that God would not just let them have a successful logging business, but I've been praying, God, give them innovative ideas of how to take the logging business where it's never been in Magnolia, Arkansas. Help them to go far beyond, because they're going to give God glory and they're going to keep God the center of the business, and they're going to see God exalted and lifted high through their crew. And I believe people are going to get saved and transformed because of what they're doing in the logging woods. So yeah, I'm saying, God, help them not just to finish what You've called them to do. Help them to finish strong and effective according to what You have called them to do. It was prophesied over their life by someone who had never met them before, long ago, that they would start a business. And they are seeing that prophecy fulfilled in their life. And I'm just using them as an example, and I'm going to use a few different people as examples throughout this series. But I just truly believe that God has given us marvelous grace to do what He's called us to do and to be who He's called us to be. So what we've got to do is we've got to break condemnation by realizing you are chosen by God. What that does is that breaks condemnation off of our life. You know, the scripture that we read a while ago, it said, it's not because of anything that we've done. It's not because I've come to church every Sunday morning and Wednesday night and men's Bible study on Wednesday morning, and I pray, you know, a certain amount of time every day and read my Bible a certain amount of time every day, and I've earned it somehow. It's not because of anything I've done. He just said, hey, I'm going to birth this knucklehead who's going to get on my nerves sometimes and who's going to get it wrong sometimes, but I'm going to birth him to be and to do something specific for the kingdom of God, and God saying, hey, I'm calling you worth it. I'm calling you worth it, and I'm calling you chosen. And so we're going to get rid of all that condemnation that says, because I messed up 2 years ago, God can't use me to do anything. God's grace is bigger than that, my friend. But because I had a bad attitude last week, now I've missed it, now God can't use me. Let me break the back of condemnation in your life. Let me tell you this morning that God's grace is better than that. It is His marvelous grace that has chose you and that has called you to do great things. And you need to put the devil in his place and put your past where it belongs behind you. Because in front of you is a great calling that God is wanting to equip you and use you to do great things for the kingdom of God. Can somebody shout amen? God does not make mistakes. Can somebody agree? And so he did not make a mistake when he created Aaron. You know, God has specific plan for your life. And he has great things for you to do in the kingdom of God. Don't you ever think, man, God can't use me. Or God must have sneezed when he was birthing me or something, you know. You know, no, God does not make mistakes. He does things well. In fact, everything that he looks at, he says, it's good. Boy, I did a good job on that one, right? And so God doesn't make mistakes, and he's called you and he's chose you. Listen, that's just who you are. Somebody say, I'm called and I'm chosen. God is all-knowing. Whenever he called you and whenever he chose you, remember, he predestined you and he did this before you were ever born. And so when this happened, he already knew about your weaknesses. And he already knew that you were going to make mistakes and failures. And he already knew that there were going to be some things that you just weren't good at. But that's the beauty of it. God doesn't use perfect people to do great things. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things so that he can get all the glory and so that he can get all the honor. So you may be saying, you know, oh, I can't do that because I'm not great at it, or I'm not as good at it as DeMarco is. You know, I showed you a picture last week or a week or two ago of you know, DeMarco, you know, and all his muscles. You know, and I go to the gym sometimes and DeMarco's there. And you know what my first thought is? Man, I'm not going to bench press when he's there. That's embarrassing, you know, because he's throwing up 300 pounds like it's a piece of paper, you know. I mean, I'm not as good at it as he is, you know. I can throw up 120. Like it's 120. But hey, I've almost doubled what I could do at the beginning, I'm just saying, you know. And so, you know, it's good to have people in our lives that makes us strive to be better. Because of that, every week it's been my goal to increase by 5 pounds. And so far, every week I've increased by 5 pounds. Because even though I may not be as good as I want to be, I can get better. And every time it's time to increase, you know what we do? And Seth does this too at the gym. We pray, God, I need your supernatural strength to help me go beyond where I've ever been and to do what I've never done. And we pray a prayer like that, and we're able to do it every time. We're able to do it. And we've increased a little by little by little. And so I praise God, but you know what? It takes work and it takes effort and it takes getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to the gym. And then now Pamela wants to go at night. And so now we're going at night too. And, you know, and all this stuff. And so, you know, it takes work and effort to accomplish your goals. But God knew that you weren't capable in your own strength to do it. That's why he chose you. He doesn't want you to get all the glory. He wants the glory. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say, I'm called. So we know we're called, we're chosen. Number three, that you're part of the plan. Now, this is amazing to me because God can do anything at any time that he wants. But for some reason, he makes us part of the plan. So we're setting the foundation to understand that we are called, we're chosen, we're part of the plan this morning. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Man. Created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we, somebody say should, say that again, that we should walk in them. Now here is where predestination and predetermined things comes into play, because somebody says, well, God predestined me that I wouldn't walk in his ways. God predestined me and chose me and planned for me to fail and to walk away from God. That was just part of God's plan because we're all predestined for heaven or hell. No, that is not what it says. It says, listen, he predestined us and he planned us and he prepared beforehand, before we were ever born, that we should walk in them. So here is what the calling of God means in your life. That before you were born, he marked out a path that leads to perfect prosperity in your life, a path of blessing, a path that is good, pleasing, and perfect in his sight. And he says, now I'm going to give you the choice, because I love you, where you can either walk in it or you can do things your way. And I'm telling you this morning that God's will for your life is that you keep your feet on the path that he marked out for you beforehand, that you should walk in it. But he's not going to make you. He's not going to make you. He's not going to make you stay on the path. He's not going to make you pursue holiness. He's not going to make you pursue righteousness. He's not going to make you do things his way. He's saying, hey, if you follow my voice, if you stay close to me, and you walk through doors when I open them, and you do what I've called you to do, then I'm going to lead you to a good place. And it's for good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk in. You see, you play a role in God's master plan. You play a role. You got a part in the play, buddy. You get to play a role in God's master plan. You see, God mapped out all of your days before you were ever born. Every one of them. And he said, hey, today is Sunday. It is June the 23rd, right? Am I right there? June the 23rd. And if Mikey will listen to my voice, I've got something very special for him to do on this day. You know, whatever that is. You see, Mikey was a blessing to me this morning because I was a little tired this morning and slept a little bit in this morning. Now, I was still here way early. But Mikey got here even before I did, had all the lights and the sound and the projectors and the all the stuff on the stage on, and he had the doors unlocked, and you know what? I just walked in. I didn't have to worry about any of that. That was a blessing to me today, right? That was a blessing to you today. You guys got to walk through doors that were unlocked because Mikey got here at 7-something this morning and unlocked the doors, right? And so we're all walking in our calling, and we're all making a difference in each other's life, and we're all making things a little better because we're doing what God called us to do. And it may seem insignificant that, you know, unlocking the doors at 7:30 or whatever this morning, you may seem insignificant when you're doing it, but whenever people walk in and they can't get in the church, then we've got a problem. Then we're like, well, they just don't want me in here. That you think I pay my tithe around here, you think that at least unlock the door, right? Because somebody didn't do what they were called to do. And so everything that we do in life, most of the time, seems insignificant. But it's so significant to the kingdom. And everybody plays a part and does what God's called them to do each day. Every morning I wake up and say, God, I know I'm a pastor now. I know I'm doing what I love to do. Man, I love pastoring this church. It is not a chore or a burden to come to work. It's not. I love doing what I, but God, what have you called me to do today? Because if you got something specific for me to do today, God, help me to know and help me to accomplish your will for my life. God, what is it today? Well, we make 5-year goals, we make 10-year goals and things like that, but those are just goals. God, what do you have for me to do today? And that's what God wants. Every day is mapped out for you by the presence of God. You have the choice, listen, to either play your role or you can go audition somewhere else. Now, I want to play my role in the kingdom. Hey, you can play the butler in the kingdom, or you can play the prince in the world and never be as fulfilled as you were playing the butler. Can somebody say amen? You can either play your role. Listen, God doesn't have a B role for you. He has your role. And here's the great thing. Your character was designed for you. Your responsibilities were designed for you. He didn't design you for the responsibility. He designed the responsibility for you. It says that he planned good things and good works for you before you were ever born. He put them in place because he wants us to all feel needed and necessary in the kingdom of God. Number four, we've got to confirm our calling by our actions. Sometimes we want God to confirm our calling. God, if you just let me know what you want me to do, then I'll do it. But sometimes God is wanting us to confirm our calling by what we do. I hope that makes sense. Sometimes he just wants you to step out in faith and do something. Right? Sometimes we sit and we wait too long. And opportunities, remember he said he marked each day out for you. Each day. So every day that you sit waiting for God to do something is a day wasted. A day wasted. And so God's just saying, hey, do what I've placed in front of you today. Do what I've got for you today. Well, I don't know what that is, Pastor. Whatever's in front of you, man. We make it so hard and we make it so difficult. We make it so difficult. Well, I don't know what God's called me to do. So I'm going to fast and pray until God shows me by his divine authority and power and a dream and a vision and an audible word from heaven. And then I'll do something, Pastor. No, do something. Trim the bushes. Mikey talked a lot about that. I love people who come and trim bushes. That is amazing. That is awesome. In fact, one time they even got to eat blackberries while they did it. Man, it was just a blessing. You know, it's cool. You know, and whatever God's put in front of you today, do it well. Don't despise it. Don't say, well, I'm waiting for something better to come along. I don't know how many people are drawing unemployment. Now, I'm just going to talk for a minute. I don't know how many people are drawing unemployment and sitting at home with nothing to do because something better hadn't come along. Man, do something. Right? Okay, I'm backing up. That ain't even in my notes. Holy Spirit, help me. Confirm your calling by what you do. That's not God's job. He mapped all that out before you were born. 2 Peter 1:10 says this, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. He says, hey, it is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to make your calling sure. It's not God's job to come and speak to the pastor. Pastor Travis, I have called Pamela to do preschool ministry on Wednesday nights. Therefore, I beseech thee, my brethren, to release her into the calling and giftings of God. You will find out. People come to me and they say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Miss Debbie, where are you? Is she in the sound booth? Perfect. She came to me the other day and she said, Pastor, I feel like I'm supposed to step down from the worship team on the stage and there's a great need in the sound booth. And I feel like I'm supposed to be filling that need and meeting that need. And she said, you know, essentially, you know, what do you think about that? I said, well, I think you should go and pray, make sure it's God's will. And once you have an answer, come back and talk to me. Because I'm not going to make it easy. I'm not going to tell you what God's called you to do. I want you to hear from God and sense from God what his will is for your life. She saw a need. She knew she could meet the need. And she's meeting the need this morning. She's on the computer running the slides. Can we give God praise for that? Now, we found out over the years, the sound booth is not the place where people are like, oh, God, if you could just call me to the sound booth. But now Susan's not sitting in there trying to do computer, camera, and sound at the same time. Madison's on the soundboard. Susan's running the camera. And Miss Debbie is running the computer. And we praise God because all three of them are walking in their calling for today. We make it so difficult. See a need, meet it. See a need, meet it. You know what? It's possible that God put the need right in front of you because he wanted you to do something about it, right? And so this is what God has called us to do. And listen, we are not the kind of church or the kind of leadership that wants to restrict God's calling on your life because we think we've got to do everything. We don't want to do everything. We don't want to do everything. Can I say that again? We do not want to do everything. I'm waiting for God to raise up somebody that can do that so that I can focus on this, right? But until that happens, I'm going to do that because that's a need. And so we're just kind of doing what God called us to do. And so, but the time's coming soon. I feel it, and I'm excited. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you like pastoring a church? I said, and I thought about it for a minute because I don't want to give some superficial answer. I said, well, I love having staff. that was the first thing that came to my mind. Oh, man, I love having staff. And they said, really? Yeah, I love having staff. Sometimes staff can be a pastor's worst nightmare. Well, next to deacons. And then not mine. I look forward to our deacon meetings every month. That's exciting. It's fun. And, but staff. Why? Because sometimes I get to go to the lake now. I'm just being honest. I get to go fishing sometimes. I get to go on vacation without having to worry and fret and fear and have my phone beside me because everything's going to fall apart. I remember 1 year on vacation, Pamela will testify, I was on my phone 80% of the time because things were not happening in Magnolia the way they were supposed to, And it was just one of those things. It was one of those things. And I remember being, when the churches were merging, I remember, we were on a dolphin cruise, and the whole time I was on the dolphin cruise, I was on the phone. But God has took all that and he's took all the efforts, but that's just what needed to be done at the time. So it didn't even feel like a sacrifice at the time. But looking back, I'm glad that we went to Florida a couple weeks ago and I don't even know that we were missed. That's awesome. That's awesome. Things went on just like we weren't here. That has been our dream. God, help us to raise up people. Help us to help people to realize that they are called and useful for the kingdom of God to the point to where we don't have to be in the forefront. I didn't preach the last 2 weeks. How many of you think you missed something? I don't. I was blessed. I was blessed because we had anointed men of God standing in the pulpit doing what God called them to do for that Sunday. Right? We had people counseling people. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, let me move on. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So the question that I have for you this morning is your calling evident to you? Now, this is where it starts to get just a little tricky, because sometimes we just don't know what God wants us to do. How many's ever been in a season in your life where you just didn't know what God wanted you to do? Aaron's like, I saw it, brother. We get like that. God, I just don't know what you want me to do right now. Am I even useful? Am I needed? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I on the wrong path? And I think there's times where we need to evaluate that. Sometimes we get on the wrong path. But God usually doesn't let us just walk down that path without sending his Holy Spirit to say, come on, you're 2 steps to the left. I need you to come back. Because if you go 2 steps to the left for the rest of your life, you're going to be really off track, right? And so God gently guides us back, and he uses circumstances and situations and pastors and advisors and counselors and parents, teenagers. He uses your parents to help you. Your brain is not developed yet. I'm telling you, you may think you know everything, but medically, your brain is not finished, And so, you use your parents to make up the difference sometimes. What do you think you want to do when you grow up? I think I want to be a scuba diver that builds fires undersea and learns how to defy the laws of physics. Okay, let's pray and fast about that one, right? Is your calling evident to you? Do you know? Because you may and you may not. But again, until you know, do something. Be useful. Be useful to yourself, those around you in the kingdom of God. The second question is your calling evident to others? And these are questions that we're going to answer throughout these next few weeks. Is your calling evident to others? Now, I do believe that some level of gifting accompanies calling. You know, if you sing like a banshee, he probably hasn't called you to be on the platform singing and leading people in worship. I'm just telling you. I mean, right? If the cows come running when you began to sing, I mean, it's like, that may not be your particular calling at this time. He may be calling you to go give voice lessons and then try again, you know? That's just part of it. Are you called to worship? Yes. Everyone is called to worship. Are you called to lift a joyful noise to the Lord? Yes, even if it doesn't sound joyful. Yes, you are. But there's usually some gifting that accompanies the calling of God. So one question you can ask yourself is, what am I good at? Not what am I perfect at, what am I flawless at, but that's a place to start. What am I good at? Am I good at connecting with people? Am I good at cooking? Am I good at cleaning? You know, there are some morbid people in the world that find joy in cleaning their house, you know? And and if you like, oh man, I can't wait to go home and get a mop and a broom, man, God may be calling you to do something with that, you know, because that is not normal. But it could be part of your calling. And I'm thankful for the people that keep this place clean. You know, and you know what's now. This is going to sound a little harsh, a little bit, but it's a little bit sad that we're having to pay somebody that doesn't even go to this church to clean the property, because nobody's called to do it. You know, and but it's a blessing because we don't even have to think about it. You know, it just happens every week. You know, we come in, it's like magic, man. It's just now God has blessed some of you to be able to give so that that can happen. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you if your calling is giving, man. That is, we love you and we love your calling very much because it helps us to do things like this. But, you know, if somebody threw up in the foyer and, you know, you walked in and it was still there when you came back next Sunday, we'd have a problem, right? I'm thankful for the people that do that because every calling is significant. But the question is your calling evident to you, and is it evident to others? Do people say, man, I could see, whenever you start to talk about it, whenever you start to talk about maybe your calling or what God's calling you to do, does something stir up inside of you and you're like, man, you know, I feel that? Or do other people say, man, yeah, I can see that? Because God will use others to confirm your calling. And the question is it evident to you and is it evident to others? John 4:34 says this, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus is saying what sustains me in life is that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I can tell you, as a pastor who's been through many seasons of ministry, ups, downs, hills, and valleys, that what sustains you through all of it is whenever you sit down, you get quiet, and you know you're doing what God called you to do. That is what will sustain you, his word and his will in your life. Somebody stand and say, I am called. Can you do that with me this morning? Come on, let's stand all over this room. Somebody say, I'm called. Somebody say, I'm chosen and I'm part of God's plan. This is reality. If you think that God is finished with you, or that you have accomplished what he's called you to do in life and now it's over, you're mistaken. If you are here and you say, I'm too old to do anything else for God, I'm just gonna come and sit and soak and sour, you have missed the calling of God in your life. You have done something, but you haven't finished something. And if you're here this morning, you say, I'm too young, I don't know enough, I may have a little bit of gifting, but I'm not skilled in that, and I'm not trained in that, so I can't do it, then you've missed your calling. Because God wants you to confirm your calling by your actions. He wants you to confirm your calling by doing something. I want to encourage you, if you don't know what your specific calling is, we're going to try to help you find that over the next few weeks. But until you know, do whatever's in front of you. God has called you to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I want to ask, before we move any farther, that before you walk in your calling, you've got to make a decision that you're going to follow Christ. The word says that he saves us and he calls us. You can't walk in your calling until you've received your relationship with Christ. And so you may be here this morning, you may be saying, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, but I want to do that today, and I'm ready to walk in his calling. Could you raise your hand anywhere in this room? Anywhere in this room. Raise it real high so I can see. Is there anyone in this room? Okay. And if there would be anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor, at some point in my life, I made Jesus my Lord, and I made him my Savior, but somewhere along the way, I stepped off the path, and I'm not living for him today. I haven't been living for him, but I'm ready to come back and to get my feet back on the right path. Would you raise your hand anywhere in this room? Come on, we're here for you, and he's here for you this morning. Anybody in this room? Okay. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And I thank you that you rose again on the third day so that I could live with you forever. God, today I ask you to forgive me for every sin and for every time that I've failed you. Help me to walk according to your will and purpose for my life. Today, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Today, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior and my very best friend. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Can you give the Lord praise for that this morning? The next question I have for you this morning is there anyone here that would say, I'm ready for God to show me what I'm called to do, and I'm ready to walk in the calling of God? Could you raise your hand anywhere in this room? Come on. That's a lot of us this morning. I know it is. I'm going to pray specifically for you, and then after I pray, if you have any specific needs, if you need healing, if you need us to agree with you about any area of your life, we want to pray for you in these altars. But I'm going to pray for you this morning, and then Pastor Shane is going to come and close the service. Pastor Shane's going to come and close the service, but we're going to pray for you and anyone that needs prayer. We're going to pray in the altars. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every hand that is raised this morning. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will make your calling evident to us, God. Lord, that we will know and realize that we are called to you, that we are called to live holy, and that we're called to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Help us to know the calling and help us to walk in the calling of God from day to day. Today, in Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.